wouldn't mind bowing your head and closing your eyes for just a moment. And from the silence of your heart, would you just pray to the Lord right now and say, Lord, would you speak to my heart today through the message and draw me closer to you? Would you say that? Lord, speak to my heart today through the message and draw me closer to you. Secondly, would you say, Lord, help the preacher to preach the message exactly as you'd have him to today, filled with your Spirit. And lastly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, we want everything to bring praise and honor and glory to you. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Now, you know me well enough. I have my trusty hot tea with me. It's guaranteed to cut any phlegm out. Not sure if you've heard this or not, but four men are in the hospital waiting room because their wives are having babies. Now, you can tell this is back a little bit because they made me right there be with her. I was the main ice chip feeder. I think I won that award that year, didn't I, for doing it the best? But these were four men in a hospital waiting room because their wives were having babies. A nurse goes up to the first guy and says, congratulations, you're the father of twins. He says, that's odd, answers the man. I work for the Minnesota Twins. A nurse says to the second guy, congratulations, you're the father of triplets. That's weird, answers the second man. I work for the 3M company. A nurse tells the third man, congratulations, you're the father of quadruplets. That's strange, he answers. I work for the Four Seasons Hotel. The last man is groaning and banging his head against the wall. What's wrong? The others ask. I work for 7-Up. Now, I know a lot of times there's awful funny jokes about dad. But you know what? There's no greater responsibility than being a dad. We've been looking at the role of fathers. And in spite of all the fun and the laughs and the light moments of being a dad, there's some awfully big responsibilities that we bear upon our shoulders. I really believe that every father will stand before God as a child of God, as a Christian, at the judgment seat of Christ, and actually give account on how they were the father of that family and how they led that family. I really believe that because it is our responsibility to lead the family. We've been looking at several of the responsibilities. We've been spelling out the word fatherhood, and we've been on this a little bit. I figured it'd go a lot faster, but as I figure quite often, it kind of slowed down a bit in the middle. But I want to tell you that this just isn't for fathers. Much of what's being said applies to moms, applies to grandparents, applies to aunts and uncles, guardians of kids. But boy, what a joy to have the ability to impact children and teenagers and even grown kids for the Lord. What a blessing that is. As I said last week, if we'd have got with it a little sooner and realized that we were getting older and started having kids, we'd have probably have 10 kids. I love being dad, and she loves being mom. But we're going to talk about the responsibility today of a dad. It's the O, the first O in fatherhood. He orders his words carefully to his children. He orders his words carefully to his children. In other words, he measures his words. He doesn't push too hard. If you turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read a verse there today, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Now, I want to review for just a moment on what we've already covered under the role of a father. The F, remember we're spelling out fatherhood. The F is he furnishes the needs of his family. In other words, he provides for his family. The A in fatherhood, he admonishes. That is, he charges, urges, implores his children to do what's right and to serve the Lord. The T, he teaches his children about the Lord. Teaches how to be saved, teaches his family how to be saved, how to serve the Lord, how to do what's right. The H, he heads or leads his family. The E is he encourages his children. The R, he reassures and comforts his children. Last week we looked at the H, he hugs his children. In other words, he tells and shows compassion. Again today, he orders his words carefully to his children. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Now, it starts out with children and their responsibilities to honor and to obey their parents. But then in verse 4, it's directed right toward dads. Now, I know the scriptures call fathers. I didn't call my dad father. He was dad to me. And I figured that's the case with most of y'all. But he directs this right to fathers, and he says, "And ye fathers." You say, well, who's he writing to? Well, if you look up at the top of your Bible there, if you got your Bible open, he's writing to the Ephesians. He's writing to a local church at Ephesus. He's writing to Christians. And he says, now, Christian fathers, now listen up. This is what you need to do. It says, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The first phrase of that is what we're looking at today. Under a father orders his words carefully to his children. He measures his word. He doesn't push too hard. Because it says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Now you think about that for a moment. Do you believe there's a reason why God, in his holy word, the Bible, that's God's love letter to us, do you think there's a reason why he spells out specifically, dads, don't provoke your children to anger? Do you think there's a reason? I think it's probably because we're prone to do that, right? And God, in his infinite wisdom, knows that we needed and we will continue to need that exhortation not to push them too hard. Now, if you turn in your Bibles also, we'll talk about this a little bit more in detail. But in Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21, notice what it says. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21, it says, here it is. Fathers, again, spells out, just like, okay, direct address to you dads. Provoke not your children to anger. And then it goes on and says, lest they be discouraged. Lest they be discouraged. You know, I've made it, I hope, abundantly clear that we as dads are to urge our children on. I mean, it'd be really ridiculous, and a lot of parents today seem to have the philosophy, complete hands off. Whatever you want to do is fine with me. Can I tell you that that's a recipe for disaster? Really, it is. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, this saying, it doesn't matter what you eat, Junior, you just go. You know what Junior's going to do? Junior's going to go and get all of the Little Debbie cakes that he can, right? I'm not sure what they put in those Little Debbie cakes, but whatever it is, it's good. And whatever it is, it's addictive. So little Junior left to his own is going to eat all the little, and then what's going to happen? He's going to have all kind of health issues. In a very similar way, if we dads or parents just all hands off, you Junior, just do whatever you want to do. You know, there is no boundaries, there are no rules. We are not fulfilling our responsibility. And as we talked about under the A of admonishing our children and urging our children on, we ought to do that. That's not what it's saying here. You know, we should encourage them, in particular, dads and moms, in their walk with the Lord. Let me tell you, though, I'm not so sure that everybody's listening. Everybody listening, awake, alert, and enthusiastic. Okay. Your kids, I don't care if they're 2 or 82. I don't really, they're watching you. They are watching you. And it speaks volume about whether your Christianity is real. Really? I mean, and you've heard it said a gazillion times, what they're more likely to do what you do instead of what you say. You know, we get brilliant sometimes, and we say things like, well, don't do like I do like I say, like that's really going to have an impact. It doesn't. We have to model what a Christian is to be, right? And there's nothing wrong. Actually, it's a blessed thing to urge them along, admonish them, and say, you know what? God's got big plans for you. You know what? You really need to be reading your Bible. You know what? You really need to be, before you take that geometry test, you really need to pray to God and say, God, help me, right? You really need to encourage them to be faithful to church. You really need to encourage them to tell their friends about Jesus. You really need to even encourage them to be faithful with their resources to give back to God for all the things that he's given to us. So don't misunderstand this passage. Throughout Scripture, the idea is to admonish them in the Lord, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Whoa, I knocked off a line. That's the problem with having things around the... Who knows? When you're as coordinated as I am. So that's a good thing. We're supposed to do that. And dads, in particular, want the best for their kids. And I'm sure that's true with moms. But we want the best. We want them to accomplish everything that they can in life and as Christian parents for the Lord, right? But you know what? If we're not careful, we can push them just a little bit too far. And you know what that leads to? That leads to anger and wrath, more like on the inside, it seems to me. And this verse in Colossians says, lest they be discouraged. Now, this applies a lot to those who are under our roof and still in our household. But you know what? You can still encourage people and your children as they are older. That you're still the parent. You still have influence. Still encourage them to do right. But you can even push too hard as an adult. Parent of adult children. You can still push too hard. Now, do you know what I mean? Just push that. I know with the boys, the only thing I can relate to as far as in an experienced way is with our two boys. And I can think of maybe 2 or 3 times that I can remember that I pushed just a little bit too hard. And you could kind of see it on their face. It's kind of like, whoa, I've hurt their feelings. I've pushed a little bit too hard. Maybe in something that I encouraged them to do, or maybe something they did wrong or something. I pushed just a little bit too hard. And dads, we can do that. Therefore, the exhortation, we have to be careful about the words that we tell our children. Now, do you realize how powerful our words are? How powerful our words are. I think most of the ways in which we provoke our children is with our words. Now, I realize that in a very sinful way that some may provoke their children to wrath and to anger and all that discouragement, even physically, in a bad physical type of abuse and things like that. I'm sure that that's possible. And that's sinful and that's wrong. You ought not do that. Absolutely not. But I think most of us would say, it's my mouth that gets me in trouble more than anything else. How many would say and admit today, man or woman, my mouth is what gets me in trouble more than anything else? Now, you know, James has a fair amount to say about that. And we're just going to look at a couple verses about the power of the tongue, since we're talking about how a father needs to order his words carefully to his children. Look at James chapter 3. I think sometimes we don't realize how powerful and how our words affect the people around us, and especially those in our household. Notice what it says. in James chapter 3, verse 5. It says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Listen to this verse. Verse 6. And the tongue is a fire. Whoa, fire. A world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Wow. You know, he has a lot more to say, but I just picked out those two verses to say, do you realize how powerful your words are? I can remember, and I've thought about this in my brain. I can remember probably about half a dozen things that people have said to me that I still remember. And it really, it wasn't just my parents. You know, maybe I can think of one maybe my dad said that really hurt. And I can think of like people I may have worked with or people in the churches that I pastor or something. But I have about a half a dozen things that people have said to me that really just cuts to the bone and really, really hurts, because our words do matter. You know, we try to be bold and brave. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I'm telling you, in those things that I remember from my past that hurt so much, I'd rather been hit with a stick or a stone, because that bruise would have healed up, but it's hard. And I know by the grace of God I can get those things out of my mind, but it's tough, isn't it? I'm telling you, Mom, I'm telling you, Dad, you got to be careful what you say with your tongue to your children. Again, whether they're little or whether they're grown, you can plant those words of hurt in their heart and their mind, and they'll never get it out. But I do remember the two or three times that I remembered, these verses just kind of come alive to me. I'm like, okay, I know what the verse means now, because I pushed just a little bit too hard. Let me tell you what Dad did pretty quick. I am sorry. I issued an apology really quick and said, okay, I'm sorry. I pushed just a little bit too hard. Would you please forgive me for that? And we made it right really quick. You see, if you're a dad here today, really, if you're a mom here today, we want the best for our kids. And it's a good thing to push our kids to accomplish things in life, especially for the Lord. But we can push in some areas just a little bit too hard. We must be careful. Watch our words and how powerful our words are. Just be careful. I ran across this. I couldn't help. I'm not sure if your sense of humor is the same as my sense of humor. I'll read a joke and I'll read it to Amy or something, and she'll go, huh. And I'm like, man, I would roared. That was really funny, I thought. So I know it must be her and not me. But I found this. What famous fathers would say, because fathers are never quite happy, right? They want more for their kids. I thought this was rather funny. Over the centuries, fathers have given their children plenty of good advice. For instance, Christopher Columbus's father. I don't care what you've discovered, Christopher. You could have written. Think about that. Michelangelo's father. Now you gotta think about this a little bit. Mike, can't you paint on walls like other children? Do you have any idea how hard it is to get that stuff off the ceiling? Napoleon's father. All right, Napoleon. If you aren't hiding your report card inside your jacket, then take your hand out of there and prove it. Some of you are like, well, I don't get that. Goldilocks' father. I've got a bill here for a broken chair from the Bear family. Do you know anything about this, Goldie? I like this one. Albert Einstein's father. But Albert, it's your senior picture. Can't you do something about your hair? Styling gel, mousse, something? Thomas Edison's father. Of course I'm proud that you invented the electric light bulb. Thomas, now turn off that light and get to bed. Humpty Dumpty's father. Humpty, if I've told you once, I've told you 100 times not to sit on that wall. But would you listen to me? No. You see, it's good for fathers. It's really good for fathers to encourage, to urge, to admonish, to even push their children in life. That's our job. That's our role. That's our responsibility. But the exhortation today is just don't push too hard. Because it can lead to resentment. It can lead to wrath and anger. It can lead to discouragement. And guess what? It's a very discouraging world. We need to do the best we can to encourage them with good words. Expect them to serve the Lord and set proper expectations, but again, don't push too hard.